Welcome to Deep Talk, the podcast for advanced English learners who are looking to explore something a little bit deeper. Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Deep Talk. I've got a great conversation for you today all about periods and fitness. But before we get into that, I want to thank all of you who came to the coaching event last weekend. I'm useless at chatting about all the other parts of my job here on the podcast, so I do sometimes wonder if you have any idea about what I do, but perhaps more details about that in a future episode. On Saturday the 3rd of June, I ran a live coaching event. I took what I do day in, day out with my one-to-one clients, and I did it with a big group. My three volunteers had 25 minutes each of uninterrupted coaching, and then all the other attendees pitched in to share their comments, assurances, advice, etc. There is something vaguely mystical about the coaching relationship and the coaching space. So much happens under the surface, and it can be tricky sometimes to point to exactly how or exactly why change has occurred or a breakthrough has taken place. Now, what I loved about this event was that it showed me that that mysticism is visible even from the outside. The attendees felt it too. And I've received some absolutely gorgeous feedback with the most beautiful language that I just wanted to share with you. They called it a nourishing space. They said it was wholesome and electric, thrilling, an eye-opener, enriching. One commenter even described it as a sacred space. I don't know if or when I'll be running another event like that. The way to know for sure is to be on my mailing list, but I'm really, really happy to have done it. Anyway, you're here for a podcast. Today I am talking with Mikey, personal trainer and coach, all about the menstrual cycle and how it impacts fitness and exercise. If you have a menstrual cycle, I probably don't need to tell you that we experience our lives very differently at different points of the month. And while, oh, she's probably on her period, is an immature response to a woman showing any form of emotion, there is actually some truth to it. Emotions, energy levels, even our tolerances to things like pain, irritation, self-control, they all vary throughout the month. And our capacity for exercise is no different. Mikey and I discuss the biological bits of the menstrual cycle, and he explains in simple terms what's going on and what we can expect in our training at different stages. But we also talk about the training he received during his qualification courses to become a PT, spoiler, not much, and the sense of taboo that the subject still has in many gyms, although he also shares his optimism that things are changing, and changing quite quickly. I hope you enjoy it. As always, get in touch on Instagram or by email with your thoughts. Deep Talkers are voting on the date of our next meeting next week. So if you want to come along to that and talk about this episode with other folks, and you're listening to this episode not long after the release, make sure you're in the Patreon by the end of this weekend and you'll be able to vote on the date of our next meetup. Okay, on with the show. Mikey, welcome to Deep Talk. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well as well. Before we get into our chat today, could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. So my name is Mikey. I'm a 26-year-old personal trainer based in Edinburgh and have been so for the last 3 to 4 years.
Fantastic. And before we jump in a little bit deeper, like, what do you love about being a PT? What kind of personal training do you do? Give us a bit more detail.
Yeah, so I work in small groups as opposed to the usual sort of standard one-to-one, which people might be used to. I'm very much a people person. I've always enjoyed working with and around people. So I think work-wise for me, I was always going to do a job related to that, and combining fitness and people just made perfect sense. So it was a pretty much no-brainer from about the age of 18, 19, tried uni, didn't really fit in much there, and then stumbled across the sort of physical training side of it and haven't really looked back since, you know, probably the last 5 to 6 years or so being in the field. So yeah, it was, I think working with people and being able to combine that with a hobby in fitness, is, it always made sense to me. So
amazing. Yeah. And I'm happy to tell listeners right now, you are one of my coaches. You are one of the personal trainers at the gym I go to, and you're amazing. So thank you very much for all the work that you've done. Yeah, no,
Not at all. The last year,
I don't know if I told you guys, but I passed my year anniversary at the gym last week or the week before.
I knew it was coming up around about that sort of time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it is the longest that I have ever stuck at any exercise ever in my whole entire life, from the year of zero. So well done, guys, for keeping me.
It's our pleasure. Is that a year? Is that a lot longer than usual? Or is it like, is it usually a couple of months? Is it
significantly longer than usual? Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing I did before then was a kind of like an adult PE thing, mm-hmm. and I went to three sessions. So you guys have done very, very well that record.
Considering you probably do now about three a week on and off, is pretty exactly. impressive. So it is always nice to hear, especially from someone like yourself. Like, that feedback's always nice to hear. So it's very much appreciated. So thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, let's jump into it then. You have chosen to talk about menstrual cycles and their impact on fitness and exercise. Why did you choose this topic?
So I think I wanted to take from a male perspective and get a little bit out of my comfort zone as well. It's definitely a subject where, just to point out, very much still a beginner, very much still learning, but mm-hmm. there is such a lack of understanding of it, and even now for me, who's been a professional in the field for probably the best part of 6 years now, it took you to mention it during one session be a good few months ago now for me mm-hmm. to really sort of dive into it and have a deeper look at it, because beforehand it was something that I dare say everyone in the field sort of knew about, but it was almost, and I mean this in the nicest way, sort of brushed under the carpet slightly. It was just something that, and that's me being brutally honest, it was something that it had never really came to the forefront. But I mean, you see it now, it's very much a very talked about thing. So I wanted to just kind of dive into it, and I know you've mentioned it a lot, we've spoke about it loads, so mm-hmm. I thought it'd be nice to just have a chat about it and hopefully get a bit of a nice back and forth on the subject. So
yeah, definitely. I think you're so right to say that it's something that is swept under the carpet, and I think there are so many reasons, and perhaps we'll get into this at other points in the discussion, but so many reasons why it is. Partly it's just so understudied, and there's an amazing book called Invisible Women by somebody whose name I've forgotten, surname is Criado Perez, and she writes about the data gap on mm-hmm. the gender data gap.
Yeah.
And basically in a gazillion different fields that you would never anticipate, health and fitness included, we just don't have data about women's
very
bodies.
Little. Yeah. Yeah.
And how things affect women.
Yeah. I think it was made, even more apparent when I was doing a bit of research, just for this chat, how little there was to go off. There's a few really good articles, but there is also very, very little. There was one thing I looked at. It was to do with one subject in particular, and I mean, it had, I think, three specified studies. I mean, compared to, if you look at it from our side, if in terms of men and males, there's thousands and thousands of. So I think, like you say, it is swept under the carpet for a couple of reasons. It's very, very complicated, and for some people, it goes a bit and above and beyond what they're maybe capable of understanding. I think people just choose to ignore it because it's easier for them, and it's mm-hmm. something that they just don't want to get into, which is, not very good at all. It doesn't give the industry a great image.
One quick thing on language, just for listeners before we move forward. We're probably going to talk about women, but of course we understand that not every woman has a menstrual cycle.
Yes.
And some people might be a menopause, and that's, their past menstrual cycles. If also you take something like the pill, then you won't have a natural menstrual cycle. This won't all apply to you. We apologize in advance for the kind of generalization of the term woman, but that's what we're going to use because, that's a bit easier for us today.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned already that your understanding, perhaps even before I mentioned it in the gym a few months ago, was relatively limited. Mm-hmm. Talk me through what, if anything, came up on your PT training courses.
Yeah, so I was trying to have a, because that was nearly 5 years ago for me now, and mm-hmm. that's a long time. Even just trying to think back, like I even had a look at like old books and stuff, and again, it's mentioned, and that's about it. Like it's one of those things where it comes up in the anatomy, that sort of side of it, and it may have been talked about more than I remember, but because it was so long ago, and like I'm quite good at retaining information, I think I'd have maybe had a better understanding of it had it been mentioned more. But yeah, I mean, you go over the basics, like your 28-day standard cycle, you talk about the different phases, but there, again, like you say, there's just not enough of an understanding around it. So even like, I mean, compared to now, like even back then there was less, which is quite scary to think about. So, I mean, you talk about like the cycle as a whole, maybe a couple of different hormones that would affect certain stages. But I mean, apart from that, very, very minimal, which is quite worrying. I don't know what it's like now. I know there's a much more of an emphasis on newer courses and like the ones that we do, that it is a big part of it now. And like rightly mm-hmm. so, because it has such a huge impact. So yeah, 5 years ago, not an awful lot, unfortunately. No,
not an awful lot. No. Yeah. I was speaking with someone, pure coincidence, it's Sam, who runs Midway Language Cafe. I know some of the listeners will follow her. She completely randomly sent me a podcast all about menstrual cycles, and I think it was exercise or maybe something else. Apparently, I've made a name for myself just talking about periods all the time. So she was like, "You'll like this." I'll pop it in the episode description if I can find it. But we just had a quick chat about like how little we as women learned about this, because school is really the place that you would learn about it.
Of course,
you go, you have your little puberty lessons and sex education lessons.
Yep.
And we left with such a rudimentary, almost to the point of being useless, understanding of what was going to happen to our bodies every 28 days until we were 50. Like that's absolutely crazy. So it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, courses are not including this information, because education systems more broadly are not including this information.
Yeah, and I think as well, because it's so much more complicated, and because everyone is slightly different, we'll probably come on to this as well at some point, but you know, everyone's 28 day cycle is different. So to teach it very broadly as, you know, everyone is the same, is obviously not something that's very ideal, because everyone is very, very so slightly different. So yeah, not surprised there hasn't been a, because again, it's quite a touchy, sensitive subject. I don't think you'll probably mind me saying that. It's a little bit taboo almost, especially sort of in.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think, you know, people are probably, if anything, slightly uncomfortable talking about it as well.
It'll be interesting to see the stats on this conversation when it goes out, to see whether I get like less listeners, fewer listeners than normal, because maybe they're kind of put off by the term menstrual or period or whatever ends up going in the title. Okay, let's jump into it then. Can you talk us through the kind of these four stages that you've mentioned? What's happening?
Yeah, so again, if we speak broadly in terms of like a 28-day cycle, if we use that as like the mm-hmm. sort of baseline kind of average, more often than not, it's split into two. Like, there is obviously the four, like you've got menstrual, follicular, ovulation, then luteal, but it's usually split into two, and that being your first, like 1 to 14 being your follicular phase, and then you've got 14 to 28, which is your luteal phase. And to put it in sort of layman's terms, that first 1 to 14 days is where you'll experience the, you know, and if we're relating it in terms of to the gym, you know, you'll probably have your best sessions. You know, you've got estrogen is at its highest, it's producing more hormones, you're going to have your best sessions. You've also then, when it comes to towards the end of that first phase, you've got a big surge in testosterone, so around that sort of ovulation period in the middle. And if you're going to lift heavy, do it then. That's when you're going to have like that couple of day window, which you're going to be at your best. nine times out of 10. That's like, again, broadly speaking. Mm-hmm. And then from 14 to 28, it's pretty much the opposite, and it takes that sort of downward slope when progesterone takes over from estrogen. And that's when, you know, you'll probably start to see things like fatigue more, you know, even things like, which I was stunned to read about, like cravings a lot higher, reduced coordination. And there's just like, it goes from there and then it comes back down. So during that sort of phase, you've got to, you know, probably take a back seat when it comes to the gym and just understand that you can never, like, because as a male, you know, our cycle is 3-6-5. It's the same. It's all year round. We don't have peaks and troughs like what you used to. So during that sort of 14 to 28, not necessarily the whole thing, but especially towards the end of that, you know, day 21 through to 28, that's when you're going to probably notice the biggest drop off in strength gains and concentration and things like that. So in layman's terms, that's kind of how it looks. So
absolutely. And I can like see that pattern in my strength. I kind of see it almost as it's obviously a cycle, but I see it as having like a peak, and that peak is ovulation. Yep. And that's when I'm like, I mean, I remember one session not too long ago where I hit my 110 deadlift. I don't know if you remember.
I remember it well. I remember it well.
And that wasn't supposed to be a session where it was like try and get a PB, because I actually think we had testing week coming up. But I was like, Mikey, I'm ovulating.
It has
like,
to be now.
I want to do this now. I'm going to be useless in testing week in 10 days time. Like, please, I don't want to do the next thing. I want to keep going and I want to hit that PB. And understanding that about myself was really helpful there, because I not only could I know myself, okay, now today's the day, but also I was able to articulate that to you and kind of say, Mikey, I'm going to ignore you for the next while everyone else goes on and does something else. I'm sticking with this bar, and I'm going to keep adding stuff until it's the heaviest I've ever lifted.
And I think, you know, like you're saying there, because you have an understanding of that, that's great. You know, that's brilliant that you've taking the time to sort of like, whether you've taken notes on it, and like whether you let's say, do you take notes of like, you know, when you start, where you're at different stages, like how did you come across, like, you know, it's obviously there's physical traits, but do you track it quite religiously in terms of like, okay, this is me day one, this is now, like how do you work around that?
Yeah, so I only track my period, so I track day 1-5 of my period in an app. But I have considered like looking more into ovulation. I think a lot of women get more into ovulation when they are looking to get pregnant, or if they're trying to come off birth control and still have safe sex, that becomes more important for them. That's not relevant for me. I'm aware of the tendency. So my app gives me a really, really broad window of when I could be ovulating based on my period date.
Yep.
And so I'm aware of that kind of stuff. And then there's obviously the physical things that happen that give you a clue that you're ovulating. So that's kind of how I track it. And then beyond that, it's been working with you guys for a year. I'm now able to see the patterns in my own energy levels. And it's taken trial and error. I wrote off for a long time, like my period week. And I said, well, I'm just not going to go to the gym. And actually, probably in the last few months, I've realized that hasn't necessarily been the right decision for me.
Yep.
Partly because I can't always get the date right. I'm not hugely regular, which means that I might like say, see you guys in a week, and then my period doesn't start for another 4 days. And then so I'm actually missing maybe like 10 days in total. And that's a bit too long. So I'm having to be a bit more flexible with it. And sometimes I do have more energy during like the later days of my period than I anticipate in advance. So I'm being a bit more flexible with it, but still just trying to pay attention and kind of be like, how was that session? How did it feel? You know, does that match up with my menstrual cycle? But then also, how did I sleep? What's my mood?
Yep.
Have I eaten? There are so many other factors. And I think that ties into why this can be such an overwhelming topic for lots of women, because it's not the only factor we have to pay attention to.
No, not at all. No, no.
We also have everything else.
Yep. Yeah. I find that interesting as well that you mentioned there about, you know, taking the actual time away from the gym during that sort of phase. And just in that article, we were discussing, I think it can be quite nice as well just to come in and do something, whether that is, you know,
yeah,
just get in and move. Because I think especially, obviously there's the physical benefits of that, but I think psychologically keeping moving and kind of working almost sort of through those symptoms can be quite good, because it allows you to take a bit of a backseat and just, if you can accept the fact that, right, this is going to be shit, this isn't going to be anywhere near as, like, you know, anywhere near as yeah, good as what I normally am, I think that's quite important. But again, if you don't have that understanding, which, you know, very few people, like you say, do, it can be quite confusing. You know, there'll be mm-hmm. some people who will sometimes come in and be like, oh, I've had a couple of rubbish sessions this week. I wonder why. Have I had, like, is it my diet? Is it, have I had a stressful time at work? And I think it's hard for us, because especially for me now, like, I would never mention it to people, but I can notice like subtle changes in people as, like, you know, the weeks go on. So I think
Mikey's subtly tracking all everyone's menstrual cycles.
Just got a list of it, yeah.
Like, Mikey, when am I due? About 10 days time, Rhiannon.
Yeah, but you do, especially just now, like when you mention it, and, like, you know, you can pick up on, like, when people are, you'll come in and they'll be like, their mood will be down, they'll not be as chatty, just like very, very basic things. And maybe, like, down to, like, whereas before I would maybe put it down to, oh, what have I done? What have I said? Is it something I have done? Like, are they in a bad mood with me? But now I'm like, oh, it could put, I'm not saying it's always going to be that, you know, at a certain stage, but I'm like, well, it could be. So I think it's like, if we can be a bit more open-minded with it and just say, well, like it's never, that's not always going to be the case, but I think, okay, they could be during this phase. And I'm like, and I would never, like I said, I'd never bring that up and ask, oh, is the reason you're maybe not quite yourself today, is it because you're at a late phase in your cycle? But if I have an understanding, broadly speaking, of it does make my life a lot easier, and certainly us as coaches have a bit of an easier time with that level of understanding. So
moving on to the practical stuff then, what kind of exercise, or what kind of, like, approach to exercise, that might be an easier way of doing it, can people with menstrual cycles, women, do during their cycle to kind of best suit the different stages?
Yeah, again, it's a very complicated one, because again, everyone will be slightly different. I think once you have that sort of that basic, like basic understanding of, you know, where you're at, and, you know, when your cycle comes and goes. Exercise, I mean, we're talking, you know, strictly gym related, because that's obviously the field that I'm sort of most comfortable chatting about. You could do it as simple as on like a 4 week, like that 28-day period. Those first 2 weeks will be, you know, slightly more strength based. You could probably push things a little bit more. Your recovery is slightly quicker. You've got better dietary adherence as well. Like, you don't have as much craving. You can kind of stick to things a little bit better. So during that first 2 weeks, that's probably where you'd look to maybe push things on a little bit. Even as such, that next sort of week, like post-ovulation, is when it starts to dip. But you're still going to be, you know, seeing progress. You're still going to be able to come in and train and do things. Intensity will probably have to back off a little bit. You're going to be, like, you know, more fatigued, more sleep deprived, a little bit more tired. So you have to just kind of look at it as, okay, I could maybe go through maybe like a bit of a maintenance here. Don't try and make too much progress. As long as I'm getting in and doing something would probably be quite ideal. That last week's obviously going to be that sort of day 20 to 21 through to the end of your cycle, is, like you say, where in the past you've potentially taken that week off, or that kind of like full week to do nothing. Whereas, like, we're probably looking at it more now as, like, can you do something? Whether that be get out for a walk, go for like a swim, or just, you know, very, very gentle movement activities. I think, like I was saying to you there, the psychological benefits of that are huge. I mean, you'll probably notice after a week off the gym, like, yeah, physically you maybe feel a little bit jaded, but I think mentally it can have a huge impact as well. Just not getting out into sunlight, not getting moving, not getting those steps and stuff in as well. So I think if you take it as like a 4 week, like first couple of weeks, push it quite intense. If you're into the gym, that's where you'll see like your biggest strength gains, your biggest lifts, like we mentioned there. And then those last 2 weeks, probably don't expect to see a huge amount of progress, if any, as long as we can maintain and keep moving. That's the sort of main thing for us. And then it repeats somewhere within that 28-day range. So,
I would agree with all of that. I think for my cycle, just because I have a very painful period, this is a very oversharing episode, but never mind. Because I have a very painful period, I probably move that on by like maybe 4 days. And kind of that's, I would then still go with those 2 weeks, but that would kind of include the first 3 or 4 days of my period in a kind of relaxing, less intense state. I think perhaps what you mentioned a few minutes ago about not expecting to kind of hit 100% at different stages of your period, I think is another really good way of thinking about it. So not necessarily changing what you're doing, but saying, okay, it's day 12, 13, 14, ovulation is coming, you know, like, or here, I'm going to go for like the 90, 100%. Yep. And then it's day 26, my period's due any day now, I'm feeling crap, I'm going to come and I'm going to be really happy if I can do 30%. Yeah. And I remember I've like told one of the other coaches, like, I remember having a chat with Begbie and just walking in and being like, I'm doing 20% today. Like that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And I will be very proud of myself for being here.
Which you should as well, because that's, you know, you're at a point with us now where like we're very comfortable as a group of coaches with dealing with that. Whereas, you know, beforehand, if you'd said that to me before having this, like before we chatted about it, and you'd came in and been like, oh, I'm only going to go for 20% today, that's maybe where I'd look at it and be like, well, I wonder why. Will I try and push you on a little bit and think, oh no, come on, Rhiannon, maybe get a grip here, almost like loose terms. But now that we have that understanding, I can be like, okay, fair enough, that's absolutely fine. You are here and that is the main thing. You are moving, you're doing something. It is always better than nothing. You touched on something quite interesting there actually as well, which is like, you know, the painful aspect of it that you experience. That would probably be something where, you know, gym-based lifting activities probably wouldn't be ideal. Because if you're in pain already, stuff like that's just not going to be advisable at all. So I think as long as like something like a swim, something like a walk, it's not too high intensity, it's not too physical, would probably be slightly more recommended for that sort of period of thing.
Absolutely. We're coming to the end of our time together now. I'm interested to know, like, you've said already that this is changing within the fitness industry, that people are becoming more aware. What other changes do you think are needed? What would you like to be seeing as a kind of standard across all gyms?
Yeah, I think definitely, like I say now, there is a much bigger emphasis on it during the, you know, that learning phase of becoming a fitness professional. There's a lot more emphasis on it now. There is not many, but there are more studies than there were before. There is that sort of increased level of knowledge. And I think a huge part to play for it, certainly for me now, is the impact social media has had. I follow a few excellent females on social media who, you know, promote this like understanding and this like elite level of knowledge around this. So I think if we can start promoting it and talk more openly about it and not make it such a taboo thing, will help. You know, I guess, you know, the day and age we're in now, you know, it shouldn't be, and there's no reason for it to be a subject which is ignored or anything like that. So that'd be a big one, you know, having a bit of an open mind to it as well. You know, not shying away from it, not you know, taking responsibility to have that knowledge and help people like yourself, like we have, is also, I think, huge. But I think we're definitely going in the right direction. I think it's definitely taking a step forward, more than a step. I think it's definitely going where it has to be. And there's obviously still work to be done. There always will be on this subject. But I think we're getting there. We're definitely getting there, I think.
I sense as well that there's an inevitability about it as women come more and more into these spaces,
like 100%,
into especially like a weightlifting gym, like 100%. You're part of, you know, which that 15 years ago, I don't know, I wasn't there then, but I presume it was a lot more male. And now, I mean, the gym that you're at and that I go to, like, I mean, it's very, very common for me to be in a group of all women, or for like three women and one man. Like, it is, women are getting more comfortable in these spaces, and the more that we spend time in them, the more that we are going to change them and affect them. So I think we're moving in that direction.
Yeah. And I think, like, even like you say there, like, I mean, even 5 years ago when I'd like, or maybe even slightly longer, say like 6 to 7, when I first started training, it was very, very rare to see, it would take a very confident, strong female to walk into the free weight section of the gyms we trained at. It wasn't common. Yeah. It just wasn't a thing. And again, I think now that, you know, social media and stuff has become apparent, there is like a few, well, there's more than a few, there's lots and lots of excellent, you know, strong female individuals who are definitely pushing the boat in the right way. And you see it with our gym now. Like, I mean, people thrive in that environment. And the more we can like publicize that and keep promoting it and, you know, pushing for it, I think it's only going to be good in the long run. So,
all right, that brings us to the end, Mikey. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. You're very welcome.
My thanks once again to Mikey for that conversation. If you have anything to add to this discussion, you can do so on social media or send me an email with your thoughts. Subscribing to the podcast or sharing the episode that you're listening to with friends and family also means a lot. My reminder that Deep Talkers are meeting for their monthly catch-up on the 3rd week of June, and we'll be voting on the date and time in the Facebook group next week. If you want to come along, it's just £5 a month, and you can find the link to the Patreon in the show notes. Also in the show notes are an article and 2 other podcast episodes on today's topic that I encourage you to go and explore if you found this episode interesting. All right, that's all from me then for today. I'll see you in a few weeks' time for episode 30. I've been Rhiannon. This has been Deep Talk. Have a wonderful day.